say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Well, there are some things that anyone who is observant, who applies their minds and attention to what's going on in the world, that anyone who actually does that and is paying attention, you'll figure out, it won't take you long, there's a lot of things that happen in this world that you're not going to figure out why it took place. And you can sit around and you can be miserable about that for the rest of your life. Or you can embrace. It's not embrace the chaos, but you have to learn to embrace that God's got a plan that runs bigger than your plan and my plan. His plan involves 7+ billion people in the world. With every one of them, he is gracious and long-suffering and patient and kind, even with people like Genghis Khan and people like Adolf Hitler and people like Jezebel, that he gives all of them space or time to repent, even in the midst of their wickedness and their ungodliness. And so you've got to understand that when you're dealing with a God that's loving and merciful and patient and kind and long-suffering toward everybody, not just you. Now, we want God to be that way with us, but we're not so inclined for God to be that way toward some other people in this world. But God operates on these same principles with everybody. And so, consequently, what happens is that there are a lot of things that happen in the world that you're not going to explain, and I'm not going to explain, and even the wisest of the wise men that have been on the face of the earth, some of them have stayed up at night trying to figure out, how does this all fit together, work together? How does God govern so that everything goes the way it should go? And the wisest of the wise men sat up in vain trying to figure out how all that stuff works together. And you're not going to be the first one to figure it out. Listen, you are not going to be the first one to figure it out. In fact, there's quite the promise. Verse 16 of chapter 8 says, and when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, when I did that. In fact, he tells us that he set his heart to understand all the business that was going on in the earth in another place here in the book of Ecclesiastes to try to figure it out. Why do things work the way they do? In fact, a lot of the things we have great understanding and wisdom about how things work in the world, and Christians of all people, serious Christians who will apply their hearts to wisdom and understanding, we have the edge up on the world because God gives us wisdom and understanding about things, and we know how things really work when a lot of the world does not. But there are some things that are even elude the best of the best Christians, the wisest of the wisest people, the wisest of the wisest believers who set their heart out to understand the business of the world. We can understand principles about how things operate, but the exact why and what's going to happen tomorrow, many of those things are out of our rank. That's probably a good way to say it. Why does God do what he does the way he does? Well, some of the things we can understand and some of the things we just don't understand. You might say, is that biblical that you cannot get it? Well, in fact, chapter 8, verse number 16, when I apply mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night see asleep with his eyes. There are people that stay up at night trying to figure this stuff out. Verse number 17, and then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. That a man cannot find it out. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. He shall not find it. What if I want to figure it out? I mean, I'm going to figure it out, preacher. I'm going to figure out why things happen. Yeah, and then I'm telling you tomorrow something is going to happen and you're not going to be able to figure out why that happened. Yeah, but I'll be the different one. I'll be the one that can understand it. Now, Solomon probably had thoughts like that. And he comes to this conclusion. He says, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it out. See, because what happens is if you're not cautious, you can come to this point where you think it doesn't matter. Well, if we can't figure it all out, and if our misery is great upon the earth because we can't figure this thing out, in fact, the Scripture teaches us that. Chapter number 8, verse number 5, he says these words, whoso keeps the commandment shall feel no evil thing. Doesn't say you won't feel a bad thing. Sometimes we do feel what is a bad thing in a sense, but you won't feel an evil thing. Why? Because God works this all out for our good. Whoso keeps the commandment shall feel no evil thing. The wise man's heart discerneth or discerns both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. There's a time that it's going to happen, and then there's going to be judgment over what took place. But because of that, because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. Why did this happen the way it did? Well, because it was supposed to. Why did Pilate condemn Jesus Christ when he knew he was innocent? How did that happen? How did it happen that a guy whose wife comes to him, and we know, guys, full well, that our wives have a lot of influence on us, and we can act like they don't, but we know, the truth is, they do. A lot. And when he knows this man has done nothing worthy of death, his wife even comes to him and says, I've had a dream about this man, have nothing to do with that just man. That thing should have tipped the scales right now. I'm just telling you, it should have tipped the scales. And he should have walked out, and even with the big tumult that's going on, and people are in an uproar, he should have walked out and he said, you know, not only do I think that this is an innocent man and he hadn't done anything worthy of death, but my wife even said to me, she thinks I need to leave this guy alone and let him go, but he doesn't. Because to everything, there is time. To every purpose, there is a time and there is a judgment. And there are some things that we speak about on this calendar of God that they're going to happen and you're not going to change them and I'm not going to change these things. And even in the midst of our ability to have free will, there are still things on the calendar of God that are going to take place, and they're going to take place whether you like them, don't like them, they're going to happen. There's going to be some things in your life that are going to happen to you that you're not going to like them. You're not going to like the timing of the things. You're not going to like how some of those things are going to end up coming to pass. But they will. And they do. And you can't change it. And you can't stop it. But to every purpose, there's time and there's judgment. And God's got control of all that stuff. In fact, for he knoweth not. His misery is great upon him. Man's misery is great upon him, verse number 6. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knows not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? When are things going to get better for me? Do you think this cancer is going to go away? Do you think that I'm going to be able to be healed? I don't know. I don't know. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? For there is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither has he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war. You're not going to beat it. Unless the rapture takes place, we're all going to die. Listen, no exceptions. There are two exceptions, right, that we know of, Enoch and we know of Elijah. But other than that, we're all in the same ballpark. There is no discharge in that war. You're going to die, and I'm going to die, unless the Lord comes back and raptures us out of here first. And you can sit around and stew about that. You can worry about it. You can fret yourself from sunrise to sundown and all night long. but you're not going to change it. And I'm not saying you embrace the chaos. I'm just saying you got to embrace the reality of how things really are in the world. And fretting and worrying about things that are outside of our control is a waste of time and energy that God's given us to be profitable with. So what do we do, preacher? There's no discharge in that war. That's right. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And all this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man rules over another to his own hurt. Sometimes you're in charge of people and it ends up coming back on you. Sometimes in parenting, you know, you're doing your best to parent, and sometimes, you know, you got charge over some teenagers and it ends up not turning out the way you think, and there's heartache that goes with that. Sometimes children are born into homes and it doesn't exactly go the way they hope it's going to go either, right? Sometimes you're a boss at work and you think, man, this promotion, this is a blessing right here. And you get your first paycheck, and then every week after that, you're like, what in the world is going on around this place? And you're frustrated. It can be very frustrating. Sometimes you are ruling over another person to your own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. A bad guy, man, a wicked guy. And he hung out maybe at church with a bunch of people that were holy people, but he wasn't holy. And he went through his life and he was a wicked man that came from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also was vanity. He's hung out, he died, and it won't be long after we pass out of this life. It won't be very many years before people don't even remember us hardly anymore. Now that's the reality. We can put up monuments and we can do all this stuff and try to make a name for ourselves, but the truth of the reality of life is that when we're gone, it won't be long and they'll have forgotten us. It's a pitiful shame that even in our history books, that some of these great men of the past, that by the time we get finished with our manipulation of the facts as they really were, that we've got those guys turned into something they never were when they were here. Pitiful. Pitiful. Verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. A wicked guy in a holy place dies. People don't remember the wicked things that he did, and his memory passes on. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. It is. Pay attention, it is. Because God is gracious and long-suffering and patient, wicked people are running around doing wickedness all over the place because they think that God's not paying attention or that God doesn't regard or that God doesn't know, and their heart is fully set in them to do evil. Maybe you're in that situation tonight that you think it's God that's never going to catch up to you. But what we do know, listen, and this is what gives us some hope. Verse number 12. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his day be prolonged, yet surely, he says, here's what I know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen the next day. I don't know how the election is going to turn out. I don't know exactly when Jesus Christ is going to come back. I can't explain to you all the vanity that goes on in the world, why events happen the way they do, why there was a 9/11 exactly. I can't explain to you why those towers were hit and why the plane went down that was heading toward Washington, D.C. Why people, innocent people, as we would consider them, died in that whole process. I can't explain to you why some of the things happen the way they do. But he says, what I can tell you is, I know that it matters. I know that when the books are closed, I know that when God brings everybody into judgment, I know that it matters. I know that it matters that we live godly lives. I know that it will matter whether a wicked person lives the way they do. I know that it matters. Because if we don't know what's going on and it doesn't matter, then let's go play golf or something, right? I mean, seriously. If there's not really a God, if this is all just a bunch of random nonsense that goes on, completely out of people's control, and everything happens by no certain reason, it's just by chance, then why does this God stuff even matter? But it does matter. It does absolutely matter. Young people, it matters. It matters. Because though you won't be able, when you get older, any more than my generation, even though that your generation won't understand it any better than any of the previous generations have, it does matter. It does. Why does it matter, preacher? Here's why it matters. Because I know that it will go well with them that fear God. I know it will. I know in the judgment it will matter whether you decided to live for God here. I know some of you guys think it doesn't matter, and that's why you're so careless in regards to how you live for God. But you're wrong about that. You're absolutely wrong about that. There's coming a day of judgment for believers and for the unbelievers, and it is going to matter. And if you get careless and you get reckless in this thing and you think it doesn't matter, you're cruising for a bruising, mister. He said, though a sinner do evil 100 times, you're like, I've done this wrong 100 times and it doesn't matter. Nothing ever happens bad to me. There's no penalty. There's no consequences of all these wrong things that I've done. It doesn't matter, preacher, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged. Yet surely, here's what the wisest man on the earth said, I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. I know it will. Though it seems like a sinner gets by with it and ungodly people get by with all these ungodly things, and though sometimes these ungodly people die and they come out from among the holy people, and it seems like everything's forgotten, all the wickedness that they did, he says, I know that it will be well with them that fear God. And with them that fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked. No, it won't. I know it. The man who said, this is vanity. And I saved up all this money. And who knows what the guy that's going to come behind me is going to be like. And what he's going to spend that money on. And vanity. The guy who started out the book that said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. But through this process of understanding and learning about the vanities of life and the sometimes what seems like the uselessness of some things or the uncertainty of things that go on in life. Yet the truth is, when everything is said and done, it does matter. And the good people will be rewarded by God and the wicked people will be punished by God. And he said, I know these things. It shall not be well, verse 13, it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feared not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men, unto whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. And again, there be wicked men, to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. You want to talk about frustrating. Why do wicked people prosper so much in the world? What in the world is going on that some of these wicked people that do all these wicked things and it seems like they get by with it week, after month, after year, it seems like they end up with the good stuff and some of these godly people end up with the bad stuff. And it's very perplexing sometimes. And if you spend too much time thinking about it all and trying to figure out the why and why do bad things happen to good people and why do good things sometimes happen to bad people, you'll spend the rest of your life questioning, wondering things that you're never going to get an answer to in this life. Instead of just embracing that there's a God that's doing things for a reason and a purpose above and beyond. Why in the world would Pharaoh, of all people, wicked, hard-hearted Pharaoh, why would God let a guy like that reign in power and even have control over God's people for many years? Why would God do that? For his purposes and for his reasons, which you and I may never understand. And somehow God can get glory out of it all. How? Too deep for me. But what we do understand is that God's given us stuff here in this life to enjoy. Verse 14, there is vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. And again, there is wicked to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. And then I commended myrrh, because a man has no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God gives him under the sun. He's saying, enjoy yourself. You know, I don't like the roller coasters very well. My wife, since we've gotten older, it's been a little bit of a blessing, because she was a roller coaster fanatic, and I didn't like heights. She loves roller coasters, flipping upside down, those wood rickety, rackety things. You just know they're going to fall apart, don't you, when you get on those things and the clitter-clack, clackety-clack, clack down the track. and then that wooden roller coaster, I knew they should shut that thing down. What'd they call that thing, the son of beast or something like that? You don't make wood roller coasters that go upside down. Everybody knows that's not safe. Clickety-clack, I can't enjoy them things. I can't enjoy those things. Why? Because I'm always thinking about what bad could happen on them. Get on those rickety, clickety-clack things, and you go up that big hill, and everybody knows if stuff starts slipping, you're going back down the other way, and then what if you go down over the other hill, and then what if it goes off the track? What if it gets stuck at the top of the hill? That would be worse. How am I going to get down from that thing? And I never have enjoyed one roller coaster ride ever. I'm telling you the truth. You know why? Because I was always thinking about what bad could happen in the process. And my wife doesn't seem to be bothered by that. She can have a good time. I have not purchased ever one picture of my face on a roller coaster coming down a hill. You know what I'm talking about? Buy a picture. Why would I want to buy a picture of that? Other people enjoy it. I heard people say, hey, if you get in the front, that's where the best ride is. So I get up toward the front one time, and you go over the hill, and you're hanging there, looking down, waiting for, I'm like, this is so dumb. Just get this over with. And I never could, because I'm always thinking about what could go wrong. Now listen, and there's an illustration here. You can spend your life worrying about what could go wrong, might go wrong, could happen. And you'll never enjoy the life that God's given you today. You get it? What if I get cancer? What if? What if I have a heart attack? What if I'm in a car wreck? What if? What if I fail this test? I failed a couple tests. It wasn't the end of the world. Until Mom and Dad found out. And then I thought it was going to be the end of the world. See what I'm saying? This is what he's talking about. He's like, look, there's so many things out of your control. Enjoy the ride. God gave you a great family. He's blessed us unbelievably. And you know, a sad life would be that you spent your whole life worrying about things that never happened to the point that you didn't enjoy the life that God gave you and all the people. I guess I have a few regrets in ministry, and I got to tell you, one of the top five is this, that we get so busy around here sometimes that I don't have time to enjoy the awesome people that God's put here. And this is what he's saying. He's not saying, party. He's just saying, man, enjoy the ride. Stop and smell the roses from time to time. Stop for a minute and quit thinking about all the uncertainties of life and think about the blessings you've got. When I got saved, one of the songs that became one of my immediate favorites was, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings and name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Enjoy life. Preacher, as soon as I can figure it out, I'm going to enjoy life. You're going to be miserable the rest of your life. What if he becomes president? It's going to be all right. What if she becomes president? It's going to be all right. What if somebody breaks in my house while I'm at church? Then thank God you weren't home when they broke in your house. But it does matter. You might say, preacher, you're running this thing in the ground. What I'm telling you is, enjoy the ride. And this is why he said, I commended myrrh. I commended myrrh because a man has no better thing under the sun than to eat and drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor of the days of his life, and which God gives him under the sun. Man, I need to stop and smell the roses a little bit more from time to time. You know it? I mean, I want to be busy. I don't want to die and be careless. But, man, sometimes I apply my heart to know wisdom, see the business that is done upon the earth. People staying up, verse number 16. I beheld all the works of God. You're not going to understand it. So what do we do, preacher? Last chapter, last two verses of the book of Ecclesiastes go like this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, here's the conclusion. I tell you what gives me a lot of hope as a believer is, I've read the back of the book. All right? And when you know the conclusion, when you know how this thing is going to end up, and you know it's going to end up all right, it's going to be all right, that gives you a lot of peace for the journey ahead. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Those people got by with all that stuff, preacher. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Those people are getting away with it. For God shall bring every work into judgment. And every secret thing. With every secret thing. What about all the stuff that's going on, the ungodly people? I mean, preacher, I would live for Jesus if I knew it really mattered. It does matter. Because every secret thing is going to be brought to light. And every work is going to be brought into judgment. And every secret thing is going to be brought up. Whether it be good. Nobody knows all the good that I've been doing, preacher. God knows. The people that do evil, it's going to come back on them. The people that do good, it's going to come out. You don't have to get all the backslaps, all the accolades, because God knows about every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. And it does matter. And because it does matter, through all the uncertainty of life, we stick with the stuff. Stick with the stuff. Stick with it. Preacher, I just feel like quitting. Why would you quit? You got something better than God's program? Do you? You're like, oh yeah, preacher. I got some of that stuff that's going on in the world. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, but every secret thing is going to be brought up, whether it's good or bad. And every work is going to be brought into judgment. And what are you going to do then? What are you going to do then? What? Just answer the question in your mind. What are you going to do then? What are you going to do then? Well, preacher, I'll worry about that when that day comes. You better be concerned about that today. Because you go out of here and you're in a car wreck tonight, you're going to have to answer for that. It's the fear of God.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do. You say I belong to you. I'm in all of what you do. You do, you do, you do. What have I done to deserve your son? Sent to die for me. What can I give? I want to live. Give me eyes to see. In a world that keeps changing, there's one thing I know is true. Your love is staying. There's nothing else I'll hold on to. You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong.